Thank you. Gisela, would you be so kind as to do the roll call?
Absolutely. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's IRD call, Tuesday the 24th of November. We have Yao Jiankang, Rafik Damak, Robert Hutchinson, Jun Seo, Steve Crocker, Mark Costas, Avery Doria, Edmund Chung, Steve Metallitz, and from staff we have Julie Headland, Liz Gaster, Dave Piscatello, Francisco Arias, Steve Sheng, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And if I could just remind everyone to state their names when speaking, this is for transcript purposes. No apologies for today's call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gisela. I really appreciate your help. And thank you, everyone, who's joined the call today. I do appreciate it. I know it's not an ideal time for some of you, and one of our first orders of business will be to discuss the scheduling of these calls. I want to welcome everyone to the kickoff meeting call of the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. And as you know, this group was created as directed by the ICANN board in a resolution on June 26th that the Security and Stability Advisory Committee and the generic name supporting organization would convene an internationalized registration data working group to be comprised of individuals with the knowledge, expertise, and experience in studying the feasibility of introducing display specifications to deal with internationalized registration data. So that being said, if you are, if it's not the call you want to be on, I apologize, but we're ready to get this group started, and thank you very much for being here. I would like to just briefly go over the draft agenda and see if any of you have any changes or additions that you would like to make to the agenda. I had thought that we should talk about developing a schedule for these calls. We do have people from a number of time zones and fairly widely scattered across the globe. So I think we will want to talk about how we might be able to come up with a schedule that can accommodate people as best as possible. And another order of business would be for us to discuss the selection of a chair or co-chairs. And actually, the charter talks about the possibility of co-chairs, but we can discuss that in turn. Thought we could also speak about the charter in general and perhaps some changes we might want to make to it. It is a draft charter as approved by the ESAC and the GNSO. And finally, if we could speak about a work plan or a timeline for our deliverables. And I should note that this meeting is scheduled for 90 minutes, and we will try to end promptly. Are there any changes or questions about the agenda? Thank you very much. Then perhaps we shall go ahead and get started and talk a little bit about the scheduling. As you know, we began by circulating an online doodle poll to try to come up with a time that was suitable for most people, but I understand that it isn't ideal for some of you. What we had thought we could do, and I'm happy to discuss options and other ideas, is to perhaps try to see if we could pick a day of the week that might be most suitable and perhaps a range of times or a time, if there is a time that people feel that that could work for everyone. Are there any thoughts on this? Don't all speak?
This is Edmund speaking.
I'm sorry, who is this?
Yeah, this is Edmund.
Oh, Edmund, thank you very much.
Hi. Well, I think those of you who have been on calls with me know that though I'm in Hong Kong, I actually generally prefer late at night. So sometime around this time is okay, and in fact I'm okay with maybe a couple of hours later even. So you just want to, you know, let everybody know if you're thinking that late at night is not a good time for me, is actually a pretty good time for me.
Hi, Yao. I think it's also late at night for you. How does this time suit you?
It is perfect for me. Yeah, I agree, Adam. Midnight is also okay for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have others? Let's see. I know Rafiq, you're in Japan. How does this time work for you?
Oh, yeah, it's okay. But just maybe not on Tuesday.
But maybe not Tuesday.
Not Tuesday, but other days it's okay.
I know that if we did schedule at this time, it's quite early on the west coast of the United States, but it's not a bad time for Europe, and we do have some people who might be participating from Europe as well. Do others have a preference as far as time of day? So we could say that 9 o'clock to 10:30, at least as a starting point, and I'm only saying that, you know, we could start with this, and of course we have the prerogative to change our schedule. It's just a little bit easier to schedule these meetings if we can select a time that stays the same, but I noted that for Rafiq, Tuesdays are not good. We could possibly look at, you know, any other day of the week, Wednesdays or Thursdays. Do people have preferences? And, of course, we can start with a day. We can, you know, try a day, and we can. I can do a doodle poll for this next meeting. But what we're trying to avoid is doing a doodle poll for every meeting. For instance, well, and this raises a question too: is do people have a preference of meeting weekly or every other week? Is weekly too frequent?
This is Edwin again. I guess it really depends on the anticipated workload in terms of whether weekly or bi-weekly. The other thing is that for Thursday we there is, you know, once in a while there will be the GNSO council meeting, so.
That's a very good point, Edmund. Thank you. Yes, weekly might be a little, we could start with biweekly, and I know on some of the other working groups that I've participated in, we've started on a biweekly schedule, and then if there is, a rush to complete a deliverable, then we have switched to a weekly schedule, and that seems to work well. So I would suggest, and of course, again, it's up to you, as this is your working group, perhaps on a biweekly schedule. And since there will be a possible conflict with GNSO council meetings on Thursday, I could suggest Wednesdays. Do people have any thoughts on that?
Julie, as you know, we have FSAC meetings on Wednesdays, I think, at 10. And so if we run from 9 to 10:30, that would be a bit of a problem.
That's true. Thank you, Steve, for reminding me of that. How could I forget that? What about Mondays or Fridays? Sometimes we try to avoid those days for some people. But just any thoughts there? Those of you who are on the call, let me put it this way. If we were to have a call in 2 weeks' time, and so we'd be looking at our next call would be in December, And if it were in 2 weeks' time, then we'd be looking at, if we were looking at a Monday or a Friday, we'd be looking at the 7th of December at 9 o'clock or the 11th of December at 9 o'clock.
So, Julie, this is Mark Hoster. So I'm wondering if I could suggest offering a doodle poll. We all have varied degrees of schedules around the world, and maybe there would be something that could coalesce. Because there's better days and better times for me than others. And I'm sure that's true with everybody else on the call. It's hard to get all that stuff just calling out now. But although we do have good guidance from what I've heard from people in Asia.
Right. Thank you for that, Mark. I could do a doodle poll for this next meeting, but what I'd like to suggest is that we settle on a time.
Well, maybe you could use a doodle poll to say, well, okay, here's the preference of when would we like to meet.
Right. I could suggest maybe that 9 o'clock, I think, sounds like it could be a good time, and I could suggest 9 o'clock on the 7th or the 11th, and for that following week, and see if there are other days, too, that work for people perhaps accepting Thursday.
Yep.
Tuesdays. I'll try that, and perhaps then we can settle on a time. Mark, you may not, many of the people on this call may not be aware, especially those coming in from the ESSAC side. The GNSO currently has, I think, more than 16 of these working groups running. And
wow.
So that's why we try to avoid doing a doodle poll every time we're setting up a call, because we're actually trying to fit these calls in amongst the other GNSO calls for those people who are GNSO people on this call who will be on other GNSO calls. So it makes it a bit complicated. In any case, I will go ahead and do that so that we can move on because I don't want to take more time with this. So why don't I do that? And then we'll see if we can, from that, settle on a time. But I must say thank you very much for this discussion, because I think maybe we've settled a few of the issues concerning the schedule. Did anybody have anything else they wanted to add on the schedule before we move on? Thank you very much. So our next item of business is talk about possible co-chairs for this group. The draft charter that was approved by the ESSAC and the GNSO suggests electing co-chairs from the GNSO and ESSAC. We do have several people on the work team who are from GNSO and some also from ESSAC. And so I'd like to ask here if there is any interest among those of you who are on this call be a co-chair on this work team, or to suggest people that you think might be interested.
Hi, this is Edmund. I just want to have a question, actually. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if anybody heard me. The question is the GNSO Council supposed to pick a co-chair, or will this group within here pick somebody from, and then be ESSAC?
Edmund, that's a good question. This is Julie. That's a good question. No, the working group chooses its own chair, so the council, GNSO Council, does not have to approve the chair, and the ESSAC does not have to approve the chair. It's entirely up to this work team to the chairs. Other questions?
This is Yao Jiankang. My
yes.
question is how many co-chairs needed? 1, 2, 3?
The charter says we'll elect co-chairs. And also it says, I'm sorry, I'll look for the other place. I believe it's one from each. one from GNSO, and one from ESSAC.
Oh, I see. So that means we need two co-chairs.
Right. Two co-chairs. You're absolutely right. Sorry not to be more. We, in working through the draft charter with the ESSAC and the GNSO, the idea behind the co-chairs was that while we could have a chair and a vice chair, because this is a joint GNSO-ESSAC effort, we felt that it was more appropriate to have a co-chair position, one from each. I'm looking at the charter again. It does not say how many, but I think it is something this team can determine whether or not it would be two co-chairs.
Julie, it's Liz.
Yes. Thank you.
One thing that might be helpful is just to talk a little bit about the responsibilities of a chair, because I wouldn't want people to feel too daunted by volunteering in terms of the responsibilities of the chair. I mean, obviously, there are responsibilities in terms of leading the group and managing the meetings, but we do try very hard in terms of the staff to support the chair and the group. There's quite a few staff people on this call, just as an example. I wouldn't want anyone to be deterred from throwing their name in or a colleague's name in because of concerns about what's really being asked of them. Not to say that there isn't work involved, but just that we would do everything we can to facilitate and support the chair. But we do need someone or two people in this case, ideally, to act as conveners and be focal points for communicating back to each of the respective communities. And I think the idea of co-chairs is to share the load and ensure that there's good perspective from both broad communities, the technical community and the GTLD community. So I just want to put a little advertisement in, not to be hesitant if you're in, really what we are looking for is someone that, understands the issue and cares about it and thinks that they can lead the group or jointly lead the group through a work plan that, to a successful outcome in terms of examining what the board is asking this group to do. So, I would view it very much as a, that substantive kind of perspective, and the staff will do everything they can to minimize, any other work that comes up in terms of organizing and taking notes and those kinds of things.
Liz, this is Julie. Thank you so much. That's a very, very good point. And I'm looking at the charter here, which does state that the co-chair shall have the primary leadership responsibility for the work group, and that the co-chairs are encouraged to collaborate with one another and with staff, support personnel in leading the work group. And as Liz said, and very, very important point, that there is staff support for the co-chairs, and we are here to help, and it's really more of a sort of a leadership and communications function and coordinating with your respective organizations, GNSO or ESSAC, on the issues that the...
And it's Liz, just one more comment I want to make that I'm being reminded of, which is that this is also a topic that is important to the other SOs and ACs, and the charter does look to this group to interact with and pursue input from the ALAC and the GAC and the CCNSO. So I think that would be another role that the chair would want to make sure to be inclusive in that respect and think in terms of a work plan that involves those participants. So another facet of the function.
Thank you, Liz. This is Julie. Thank you. With that being said, do others have questions or comments or ideas concerning the co-chairs?
Hi, this is Edmund again. I'm happy to, you know, try to liaise back to the GNSO what's happening here, and you know, try to get participation from different people. I mean, that's sure. The only thing, you know, in terms of the co-chair role, I guess one of the things that is in the back of my mind is that there are a few IDN related issues that items that are being, you know, that are being tried to be progress. If they do become something, then it's just a timing arrangement issue that would make it more tough than what it is right now that I can handle.
So, Edmund, it's Liz. You'd be okay with the liaison role, which is another position that's called for in the charter, which would be wonderful to have that liaison back to the council as well.
But, yeah, this is Julie. Edmund, were you suggesting you'd like the liaison role, or were you suggesting that you would be interested in being a co-chair, but we would need to recognize the fact that I know you're involved in other groups and that there could be some difficulty with your time in participation in these other groups?
So basically what I'm suggesting is that I think at this point in time I'm happy to do either or both. But if things change later, you know, maybe liaising back to the GNSO is one of the areas that I can definitely do.
Thank you very much, Edmund. This is Julie. Thank you. Are there any others from the GNSO side who might be interested in co-chairing, or do others feel that it would be fine for Edmund to be the co-chair at this point from the GNSO? Edmund, I think it sounds like the job is yours if you would like it.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that, and I'm happy to serve in the role. As I mentioned, you know, I would definitely let people know if time becomes an issue, and I'll leave it to the group. And at that time, I think others from GNSO, if they have the time and are willing to serve, will, you know, be great to step up.
Thank you. This is Julie. Thank you, Edmund. That's very helpful. Well, why don't we then go ahead and start with you in the role as co-chair from the GNSO. And thank you very, very much. And we understand that your ability to commit to this might change depending on the workload for you, and that we may need others to step up and assist. And keeping in mind that our charter does not restrict us to two co-chairs. Conceivably, we could have somebody who is also working with you in the co-chair role from the GNSO. Thank you. Do we have someone who is an ESSAC member who would be interested in being a co-chair who's on this call? And I need to remind myself who we have on the call from ESSAC.
I think it's only me and Steve.
Yeah, I think it is, actually, unfortunately. Now, I know that Jeremy had hoped to be able to join.
I think Mark is also.
Oh, yes, Mark, I am sorry. I did not mean to overlook you.
I think Mark has distinguished himself here with active work in this area. He's clearly the obvious choice.
Well, thank you, Steve. That's a resounding nomination, Mark.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. I don't think I could do justice, though, unfortunately, given my current workload. And actually, I don't think it would be a good idea. I'd be happy to be a liaison, but I don't think I could be a co-chair.
Julie, there are probably others who aren't on this meeting who from ESSAC who might be willing to join and participate. I mean, there's certainly
considerable interest in the committee. Perhaps it's appropriate to move forward with Edmund at this time and see if there was somebody from ESSAC or perhaps one of the other SOs or ACs that might be interested. I know that this topic is important to the GAC and the CCNSO as well. And so it's not just to the GNSO and ESSAC that that will contribute here.
Dave, thank you very much. I agree that we have several other ESSAC members who I know had wanted to be on this call, and I think we should give them the chance to see whether or not they might be interested in this role as well. So let's defer this question, and it also can be a matter that we can discuss on the list if we wish. And Dave, I suggest too that we could, in the meantime, prior to the next call, talk to some of the other ESSAC members and other SO and AC people who had indicated an interest in this group to see who might be interested in the co-chair position. Any other thoughts on co-chairs before we move ahead? And thank you very much, Edmund Chung. All right, thank you, everyone. Then moving ahead, the next item of business was to take a look at our charter, our draft charter. And I wanted to point out a few things for discussion and also to note some areas where we could possibly make changes if the working group would like. The first point I'd like to make is that this is a draft charter. It has not been approved by this working group. It has been, the draft charter has been approved by the GNSO and ESSAC, but that does not preclude this group from making changes. And if you have looked at the charter, you have seen that there are a number of TBDs in it, things to be determined that we need to discuss as a working group. And so that is another reason why it's a draft. So I thought we could go through the charter and answer any questions you may have with it, note some areas that need to be updated, and then we could move on to a work plan. And that actually, the work plan and timeline and deliverables is actually a part of the charter, so we could walk through this and get to that section and then talk about some things that we would like to do as a working group. First of all, are there any overall questions concerning the charter? Just any general questions? All right, thank you. The charter has begins with some background information on the working group. None of that. It's all just basic information, nothing that that we need to change. It simply states why the working group was created, how it was created, and what its purpose is. I think, so that is section 1.0. If we move on to section 2.0, working group identification, then we come to some of the areas where we as a working group can make some changes to the charter. And these are points that we are already we've already had some discussion on. As you note, in this section, there are co-chairs from the ESSAC and GNSO. That is, in the draft, is indicated as TBD, but now we can happily add Edmund Chung as a co-chair from the GNSO. We also, in this working group, can have liaisons to the various SOs and ACs in ICANN. And so if there is someone who doesn't feel that they necessarily have time to, you know, be a co-chair, they certainly can be a liaison. And the third point is that if we feel that there are people with a particular expertise who might assist the work of this group, we can have advisors to this working group. Right now we don't have any advisors, but if anyone knows of someone who might be able to assist in the work, and this may come later on as we identify the work plan and the deliverables, we certainly can have advisors to work with us. Any questions on this, on that section? Following on in section two, and this information is something we can update now, and that is that we do now have a URL for the IRDWG Wiki workspace. And I understand that some people have had difficulty getting on the workspace, so we make sure that technical issue is taken care of. We do have the email list established, and we do have a repository of the mail, of the archive, established as well. So as staff, we can update on those aspects of the charter easily. Any questions? So the next section is 3.0, which is the mission, purpose, and deliverables. And this is obviously the very important part of the charter and of the working group. The scope, mission, and focus areas are to study the feasibility and suitability of introducing display specifications to deal with the internationalization of registration data. And I note here that this working group can and shall solicit input from all interested constituencies, including CCTLD operators, the CCNSO, ASO, ALAC, and GAC. In other words, the working group should and can reach out to all interested organizations within ICANN to assist in the work of this. Any questions on that?
This is Mark Osters, Julie. I'm looking at this, and this really has really two components of it. Maybe it needs to be tussled out a little bit more. And the first part is one that's really thorny, and that is, what are the mandatory elements that you need to display?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the social data and how that's actually and what are the mandatory requirements, optional, and that sort of thing. Does each domain registration have to have an organization or user associated with it, for example? The second part of it is, okay, what is the protocol that you need to use to actually to facilitate the display of international character sets? And that's sort of a separate issue. And it's really two separate parties that need to make that decision up.
Two separate parties for these two elements?
Yeah, well, the first part is really you have the registrars who collect some information. You have law enforcement agencies who want various types of information. And then you have those individual users who may not want to share that information, as well as organizations. So those are sort of the social information isn't of interest. What's interest is the protocols in which all this stuff can actually sit on top of, and making sure that all happens, because we actually have multiple issues that are kind of like tied up in this study.
Mark, thank you very much for that. So this is Julie. So it's really the second, as noted, the protocol to facilitate the display of character sets that is the primary focus of this team?
Well, that's a question, because there's things like postal codes and that sort of thing in terms of standards that I know that Dave's brought up before, but I'm just wondering if how wide is the scope and whether or not that's too wide?
This is Julie. That's a very, very good question, since we're on the issue of scope. And as I do not have the technical expertise in this area, Dave, might I call on you to see if you have some ideas, and also others who, anyone else in the working group, of course, but from a staff point of view, when we were developing the charter, I'm just wondering, Dave, if you have something you'd like to add.
I think part of the objective here, as Mark says, is to tease out two separate issues. One is understanding what data we want to collect and display, and the other is understanding the methods of delivery. The standards that we mentioned in the presentations that staff gave both in a webinar and in Seoul were more or less outreach to look to see if there were other paradigms. They weren't necessarily indicative of the direction, but just trying to understand how communities tried to solve the multi-language problem. I think certainly having spent some time following Mark's mention of the way Aaron does their RWS who is service, and then taking a look at some of the other other alternatives to Iris and Crisp, and listening to the community's reservations about those protocols, I think that they would be in play. And in fact, one of the reasons why I was having a side conversation with Mark was to learn a little bit more about some of the implementation experience. I also think it's very valuable to take a look at more carefully the way many of the CC TLD operators are already managing this issue. And in fact, you do see some people who are doing some of the things that are similar to what Aaron is doing and what the other RIRs are doing. Lastly, I think it's valuable to consider the optimality that might exist if we were to have a single converged standard that would allow people to have a common WHOIS platform for both IMINET number registries and domain names.
Okay. So this is...
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. I'm sorry. Mark, is that you?
Yeah. So let me rephrase this. Is this something that we want to actually attempt to have a uniform schema, or is this something that we want to actually say, okay, here's a various sort of platforms that we've looked at in which that we can that can actually solve the internationalized WHOIS sort of issue, and here's one that we think is best that the community ought to use, and they're really two different there's two different sort of questions. The first one is mandating some sort of schema. The second one is, okay, schema aside, you guys figure that out in the political process. Here's a bunch of different technologies that actually can solve this, and this is what we recommend.
So, please
introduce yourself for the scribe. Thanks.
So this is Dave Piscitol again, and I don't want to monopolize the conversation. I do want to make an observation that one of the important motivations here was to make certain that there was a common data if not a schema that would continue to be automatable in the manner that people have attempted to automate for WHOIS in domain names thus far, to do things like detection of abuse and other other data mining applications that are appropriate for WHOIS. So to answer your question, Mark, I think that having a data schema as a goal would be a good thing. I don't know if it's a necessary thing. I do think that. It may be the case that if we don't have a data schema, what we might want in the RIA or in some other policy document is an enumeration of the data elements just as we have today. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be an XML XML schema or other schema, but at least it would be an enumeration of the data that we want captured.
This is Julie. Thank you, Dave. Others, we invite others to comment here. I think this is a very important point. We do really need to tie down the scope and the questions that we want this working group to address. Please, others.
This is Edmund. I sort of have a couple of, more process-oriented questions. I don't know whether I want to interject here or Mark and Dave have further comments on them.
Please go ahead with your question.
Okay. So just looking at the sort of the scope and the timelines, from the charter, there are certain things like a workshop and stuff. Do we consider that already done in Seoul, or are we supposed to? Is that doesn't count, or how does the time frame and deliverables work right now? The other question is, we're talking about the scope. The group itself is ESSAC and GNSO. We do talk a little bit about getting the CCNSO involved as well, but is this something that would have implications to CCTLDs as well? Is this something that ICANN is interested to recommend to CCTLDs to use as well? So,
this is Julie. I can answer your first question easily. The workshop in Seoul was a deliverable for this working group. It's a little confusing because the charter, as I think you have noted, was approved back in September, and some of the deliverables were then approved, including the webinar and the workshop in Seoul, both of which have been completed, and will be indicated as such here in the charter.
Okay.
Really looking at the following on from that. With respect to your second question and the impact on CCTLDs, I'm wondering if someone else on the staff or in the working group would like to address that, because I don't quite know the answer to that.
Andre.
I'm sorry, that was Andre?
Yes, Andre, yeah.
Thank you for joining. I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were here. Thank you.
No, I'm just listening. Regarding the particular, the practical implication, it may not be CCNSO related, but just to let you know that we in a practical implementation of the WHOIS data and the WHOIS outputs and the protocols and the web interfaces and the data fields. So all I can say is that all the group can utilize our practical experience, since we gained some data on, you know, how good it is, how bad it is, within a few months, starting tomorrow, because tomorrow we start the priority registration, and it will be practical. Thank you.
Andre, thank you very much. This is Julie. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there others who would like to comment on the question concerning the impact and the scope of this as far as engaging other SOs and ACs? So this is Julie. I think we've got then a couple of things on the table. I think Andre has made the good point that that this group can look at the practical experience in the CCTLDs now, and Dave and Mark have noted some questions about the scope of this group and that the question being whether or not there should be a mandatory schema, and perhaps that is a goal of this group, if not a requirement, but I think as Dave had noted, it would be useful to have an enumeration of data elements. What does this working group think as far as fleshing out a little bit more in the charter, perhaps these two items, and whether or not we want to to go as far as saying that this group would try to come up with a mandatory schema, or whether or not we want to back off from that a little bit. I feel that's an important point that we should try to nail down, but others can correct me.
This is Edmund. I'm wondering whether, you know, how we should really go about this is, you know, whether we should jump right into the data elements and schema, or do we want to sort of take a look at the parameters that we're working with. We are talking about who is, but I guess there are other potential delivery protocols. Do we look at that at all, or we're focusing on whatever is the WHOIS protocol right now?
I mean, that's a very good question.
This is Steve Crocker. I would recommend, at least briefly, a fresh start approach of laying out what the requirements ought to be. For my taste, I would like to see something that is extensible and can handle both current and future needs across different scripts and cultures, contact information of both the existing kinds of physical address and phone number, fax, and so forth, and any future contact points. I mean, just to stimulate discussion, suppose there comes a day when everybody has some sort of instant messaging handle that is different and distinct from an email address. Would we want to have a way of putting that into the schema? And I think the answer is yes. I'm not suggesting that seriously, just as a way of stimulating discussion. I think that we also need to be able to handle various forms of tiered or selective access with appropriate controls. Ultimately, this is not the right group to do a technical design that goes through the full standardization process. That has to go through the IETF. But I think this could be a group that sets specs and either does a design or spins up a design team that does some sort of prototype design or puts together the appropriate ideas. I don't want to just wander around the problem or grab at existing solutions or ask how we're going to tweak who is. The transition problem of how to get from wherever we are now to wherever we want to go is not a trivial problem, and I think we all have to agree to that. But I don't want to be burdened by saying, well, it's going to be too hard to make any changes, therefore we're going to live with what we have. I think the first thing to do is figure out where we'd ideally like to go, and then also keep enough energy in reserve to plot out the transition process from here to there.
Hi, this is Aubrey.
Please go ahead, Aubrey.
I would definitely like to endorse that. I think to limit this group to any existing tool and sort of that would be to sort of negate the work that it really needs to do. I think we have to take a full and careful look at what needs to be captured and how it needs to be, you know, stored, processed, whatever, and then find, is there, you know, an existing solution or does one need to be developed? But I think creating the specification or at least the recommended specification of what needs to be there is something that should be in scope of this. And I kind of thought it was in defining the charter, but that was ages ago, so I'm not sure I remember correctly. Oh, this is Aubrey Doria.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. I think both Steve and Aubrey, this is Julie, Steve and Aubrey have made some very important points with respect to the scope of work for the team. I'd like to hear others on this call, if you could respond to that.
Julie, this is Steve Metalitz.
Hello, Steve. Thank you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I don't think that determining what would be the content of who is really is within the scope of this group. As I read the charter, it's dealing with the feasibility and suitability of introducing display specifications and it talks about achieving consensus on the types, kinds, and encodings of registration data. So I don't think that necessarily means that this group would. I don't think it means this group would get into exactly what is collected, how that is different from what is collected today, and what is displayed, how that's different from what is displayed today. So I see it's more of a technical mandate.
Steve, thank you very much for that. That's a very good point. Others have comments?
This is Yao Jiankang from Phoenix. My comment, since this our working group's work will impact who is the protocol in ITF, but do we need some submit some draft ORC to ITF or some draft to ITF publish our research result and in future we pursue to publish as RFC. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. This is Julie. Thank you very much. I think that is a good question because and it gets to the point of what our expected deliverable would be. As described in the draft charter, there would be a deliverable of an initial study from this working group, which would go out for a public comment period within the ICANN public comment forum, and then a final study that would be submitted to the GNSO and ESSAC for consideration. But I think your question was, do we also then need to coordinate or publish our research in the IETF?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. Do others have comments on this?
Julie, this is Edmund. Hello?
Hello, Edmund. Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. I actually had a comment on Steve's earlier comment. So I didn't want to interrupt your question about the IETF thing. But
that's okay. Please, Edmund, go ahead.
Okay. I agree with Steve in general. There's one point, though. In terms of data elements, there might be I'm just thinking out loud right now, actually. Sorry about that. But there are possibilities where we might want additional data for internationalized versions. For example, you know, we might ask for an ASCII-only version and then a internationalized version for whatever purpose. So I don't think that would be out of scope of what we might discuss. So it's not entirely just display or technically displaying, at least as far as I'm looking at it. I don't know whether that makes sense to others.
Okay. This is Aubrey. Can I add something?
Yes, please, Aubrey. Go ahead.
On this is Aubrey Joy, on both of those issues. I think, and perhaps I did speak to you, I don't think that this group needs to decide exactly what needs to be there. I do think this group needs to look at what kind of things need to be there, because it's impossible to specify the rest of it without knowing that you need certain kinds of data, and they will need to be covered. The exact listing of content is yes, that's a different, highly politicized issue. But the kinds of content that may need to be specified and contained within a database and retrieved from a database, I think is necessary. I think if we don't know what kind of things we're talking about, then there's really very little we can do. If we don't know what we want, what kinds of things we may want to do with those things, again, it becomes difficult to specify anything. I think in terms of the IETF and publishing something, I think that's a question that can wait later. I think if we have something at the end that says, you know, we need some work done in the following, and here's kind of our first take at the kinds of things that that work would involve in terms of protocols or what have you, I think that certainly we can and should put something forward there. But I think that the side that we've got that at the beginning is, I don't know that we need to do that.
This is Julie. Thank you very much, Aubrey. That was a helpful, very helpful comment. Do others have comments concerning this discussion now with respect to scope?
Hi, Julie. This is Steve Shane.
Yeah, Steve. Please go ahead.
Just kind of two background points. So the context is. The GNSO is doing five WHOIS studies, and the fourth one is with regard to a hypothesis originally submitted that the use of IDN characters in TLDs will impair the accuracy and readability of WHOIS records displaying the domain name, email address, and name server address. And that was one of the hypotheses the GNSO asked for a study. And I think that's one of the reasons for this working group to get some information. With regard to Dr. Crocker's point of starting afresh, you know, think about the kind of requirements that we need. So that's the last. In the set of five WHOIS studies, the last one, the council asked the staff to compile a list of technical requirements for improving WHOIS. So in that requirement, you know, I'm primarily responsible for that. So in that requirement, we will talk about, you know, tiered access. So just to want to bring up those two points.
Steve, that's extremely helpful, and I think a very important point to note that there is ongoing work with respect to the to that particular requirement. Do we have other comments with respect to scope and how we want to maybe what we want to focus on first? I'm hearing that we might want to take a fresh look at this, perhaps not in defining content, but perhaps in looking at the kinds of things that need to be there, if not the exact things that need to be there, and waiting until later on the question of whether or not we would have something that we would need to use to engage with IETF, depending on the outcome of our studies. Any other thoughts in this area? So my next question is then, how do we want to proceed as a working group? We are committed in the draft charter to a study, and the timeline for that study is to be released sometime in December, which I think would be now rather difficult. And so we need to adjust the dates, but I think we need to frame the problem and how to address it first. Of course, others can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that as an outside goal, we have a next ICANN meeting in Nairobi in March. And so we may want to, once we've framed our the questions we want to address in the study, we could look at a timeline for perhaps achieving a deliverable that might be able to be presented before Nairobi or at Nairobi. But I think from my personal opinion, we need to tie down exactly what we want this group to look at, and I'm hearing some very good ideas here. What do you think? Other comments on scope? Do we feel that we have some good places to start here as far as rewriting the scope of this group and making it a little bit more specific in the charter with respect to exactly what we're addressing? Do we want to make sure that we're specific about the scope and that we're not dealing with determining the content? We are looking at the feasibility of display of specifications, types, and kinds in displaying data, but not the content, but perhaps looking at the kinds of things that we want to be there. Does that seem to be an accurate statement? I think we've tried to capture that to a certain extent in the charter, but do we need to make that language a little bit more specific? Or do people feel that this charter is acceptable as written as far as the scope?
Yeah, I would need the more clear specification. It's Andre.
Andre, a little more clear specification.
Yeah, I'd like to have more clear statements and more clear areas of the work group scope,
mm-hmm. Okay.
defining what we're dealing with, technical specification or content. So important.
Right. Okay. So both the technical specifications and saying something.
And or content.
Yeah, and or content.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts? Thank you, Andre.
This is Edmund. I apologize. I probably haven't paid enough attention or focus on this development. But I was just wondering the staff study on some of the display standards and how CCTLDs are doing some of the things today. Has that been compiled and? Where can I find that type of information?
This is Julie. Dave, did you want to speak to that?
I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry. I can't.
Edmund,
could you?
Sorry.
Go ahead, Edmund. Sorry.
Yeah, just quickly. The, in the sort of scope part, it says staff would. Study some existing sort of models like the International Mail, like some of what CCTLDs are doing currently. I was just wondering whether that report has been compiled or where to find it.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a. We didn't actually do a report so much as reported through a webinar and at Seoul.
Okay.
We haven't actually done a formal poll of or survey of all the CCTLDs to understand how they are dealing with this today. And my sense is that that a significant number of TLD operators aren't yet addressing the issue. But are only collecting, standard ASCII or local language. If committee wants, I think that we could certainly reach out to the CCNSO support staff and get some assistance in getting a more formal collection than the anecdotal collection that Steve Sheng and I obtained in August and September. With respect to looking at other alternatives, there isn't much more to look at from what the UPU does, and the only other, not only, but the other element that we had been exploring and considering was mentioned in Seoul by Mark Costers, and that was using an XML data structure or schema over HTTP as one alternative, and that same schema could be delivered over port 43 and then parsed by a port 43 application. If you're interested in having staff compile a brief statement of those alternatives, I'm sure that we can do that.
No. I was just wondering. I now recall the webinar that I connected to, and I think that presentation might be useful. I don't know whether it could be found somewhere. Because I think that those are the stuff that you mentioned in the webinar.
Edmund, it won't be very hard for me to put together a very short very short paper that discusses the alternatives and identifies other resources, and I'm happy to do that. So
that might be useful because then we can use that into the put that into the initial study anyway.
Okay, then I'll take that as an action, and I'll try to have it available at least 72 hours before the next meeting, provided the next meeting is not next Tuesday.
What do other people think? Just don't want to waste. People don't think it's of value.
No, I think it's of great value, and I'm glad that you proposed that, and I was looking for a way to say the same thing. I think we ought to bring all that stuff up and put it on the table here.
This is Julie. I will go ahead and send that presentation that was provided at the webinar. It is available. It's actually linked on the SAC site, but I'll send it around to this working group as well. And Dave, thank you very much for taking the action item to do a short paper. I think that would be quite useful. And this is Julie again. I think that these things would help us to frame the work as we move ahead and ensure that we can clarify the scope of this team so we know exactly what we're working on. Other comments? And Edmund, thank you very much also for raising the issue of harnessing the existing information that ICANN staff have pulled together. I think that's an excellent way to start. Andre, I think this is Julie. I think you talked about making sure that we have clear statements in the charter, technical specifications, and/or content. Do others agree with that suggestion?
Maybe this question will come away once we have the actual presentation of the previous topic you discussed.
Andre, thank you. That's a good suggestion. Edmund, since you've so graciously agreed to be a co-chair of this team, do you have some suggestions for how we might proceed? I don't mean to pick on you, but I do want to give you that opportunity.
I guess I'm still trying to wrap my head around how to go about this. Don't at this point have a clear preference anyway, or special thought about it. So I defer to listening to others, and perhaps I think in general the study from staff would definitely be a good point of departure.
Edmund, this is Julie. Thank you so much. I think that is a very good way to start. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I wanted to give you the opportunity if there was anything that you wanted to add. Do others have a sense of what we should be looking at as a working group to help us refine our scope and mission and goals?
Hi, this is Edmund again. Sorry for keep asking questions, but it would be useful if earlier on in the discussion, if people feel that there are certain areas that we should definitely not venture into to speak up, like the couple that was mentioned. One was in terms of the other, you know, things that other WHO studies are already looking into, including access or those kind of things. And then I think Steve made a good point about, you know, some of the things that, we probably shouldn't look into, because that also, as much as I think, you know, it's useful to take a fresh start, which Steve mentioned, but I think it's also useful to get a sense of what people would not feel comfortable with this group talking about.
This is Julie Edmund. That's a very good suggestion. Do others have thoughts?
Not saying that right now for people to speak up, but whenever things, you know, come up, and bring it up as soon as possible.
Yes, this is Julie. I think sooner would be better. If not on this call, perhaps, and I will do a summary of this call and with action points and some of the main points discussed. I think that's a question we can put out there for people to consider prior to our next call and to alert us to anything that they think is definitely, they don't feel is in the scope of this working group. And I think Steve Metallitz had already made a good note about not trying to determine the content. Edmund, this is Julie. You said something that made me think there's something else that might be useful, and others can chime in. Steve Shang had noted the ongoing WHO is studies that ICANN is engaging in, and the one in particular that he is working on. Steve Shang, would it be helpful if we could, if you could provide to the working group just just a very brief summary of what are these studies, so that we can know what is already happening. You've mentioned them here, but perhaps that we can have this as information for the working group to consider so that we're ensuring that we're not duplicating work in any way. I mean, I think that was our intent in deriving this charter was to not duplicate existing work within the WHOIS, but I don't, with the WHOIS studies, but I'm not sure that it's clear, and not even to myself, exactly what those studies are.
Sure, Julie. I think the council asked us to do four studies, and the last one wasn't in the original set of WHOIS studies, but the goal of that study is to compile a list of service requirements for the future WHOIS service. So I think the goal is not only just to, you know, to see what are some of the current features that needs to be improved, but also in light of some of the, you know, policy developments, and see and ask ourselves the question: if a certain policy, you know, were to go through the consensus process, for example, tiered access, what are some of the technical capabilities we need to build in to be able to implement the policies? So let me just to clarify on that, where the study is mostly compiling a set of technical requirements. It's not policy requirements. You know, the policy, you know, should come through the multi-stakeholder consensus process. But what we are mainly interested in is, from a technical point of view, how to build in capabilities that will implement some of these proposals. So we'll be looking at past policy proposals, and also getting input from various SOs and advisories, for example, the ASAC. So that is ongoing work. Part of that work that's relevant is with regards to the display non-axi characters. And I think for now, my sense is we're waiting on the working group to give us some guidance on that. So so I think, you know, that's my current thinking is, you know, the working group can give us some guidance, like, you know, here's the set of, you know, technologies can solve this problem, and we'll look into the working group's proposal and probably incorporate some of that. So that's my understanding. Liz, is that correct? And Dave?
Yeah, I think so, Steve. You know, as part of it's a timing question, right? If this group's work continues for some reason beyond the completion of the inventory that you do on the Who Is Service requirements, there may be a need to compile at a later point that further thinking. So there might be a timing question there. But I think that would be the goal, is to, you know, incorporate at least into the inventory the results of this.
This is Julie. Steve and Liz, that's, I think, very important information for this working group, the fact that the output of this group is something that is useful to, you know, something else that's happening in ICANN. Steve, I was wondering if perhaps you could just write up very briefly what you just said and send it to the list, and I think perhaps we might consider whether or not we want to note that in the charter, but at least so that people in the working group have the understanding that would help us, the working group, frame the work, since part of that output is being considered elsewhere.
Sure, I can do that.
Thank you. We have now just a few minutes left of this working group kickoff meeting session, and I could just very briefly summarize what we've discussed here. We've talked about the chairs and co-chairs. We have had Edmund Chung agreeing to be co-chair from the GNSO, and we will seek other interested individuals from the ESAC who might be willing to be a co-chair, and we also have liaison positions that we can fill, and we will work on that prior to our next meeting. Our next meeting, we will send out a doodle, and we will look to schedule a meeting in 2 weeks, using perhaps 9 o'clock as a time that might be good for people, but varying the dates. We talked about the scope and the need to clarify the scope of this group with respect to the technical specifications and or content, and also to make available to the working team existing work that ICANN staff have already completed. And I will send around the presentation from the webinar, and Dave will provide a short paper prior to the next meeting relating to alternatives that staff have looked at. And Steve Shang will provide a brief statement about other related work and how the work of this working group ties into that. I think that I'm hearing that we do need to have a bit more definition in our charter to get a sense of how best to move forward. So between now and the next meeting, perhaps the staff can collaborate with Edmund and the working group to suggest some language that could be considered on the list and discussed at the next meeting. Does anybody have anything they wish to add or to change, any questions or clarifications about what I've said? Is there anything anybody else wants to add before we adjourn the meeting?
This is Edmund.
Yes, please.
Hi. I certainly thank everyone for having at least from the GNSO, a little bit of trust for me to serve as co-chair. But I also hope that the ESAC will quickly find me a co-chair to help with the workload.
Edmund, this is Julie. I heartily agree with that, and we'll certainly try to help with that to move ahead quickly. Does anybody else have anything? Then I want to thank everyone who joined today. Thank you very much. I think that we've got a very, very good start. And thanks so much to Edmund. And we'll get someone to be a co-chair with him very soon. It is now time to adjourn the meeting. And I will look forward to hearing and meeting with all of you in 2 weeks' time. Thank you very much, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.